Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
Hey, we're going to start this morning, if it's possible to whop the screens over to... Yay, there we go. One piece of technology is working. Phew! We're going to start with a little video clip from a TV program, a very profound and very realistic TV program about a group of clergy people who live together on an island.
Oh, Dougal, do you remember Sister Assumpta?
No.
She was here last year, and then we stayed with her in the convent back in Kildare. Do you remember it?
Ah, you do.
And then you were hit by the car when you went down to the shops for the paper. You must remember all that. And then you won £100 with your lottery card.
Ah, you must remember it, Dougal.
And weren't you accidentally arrested for shoplifting? Remember, we had to go down to the police station to get you. And the police station went on fire? And you had to be rescued by helicopter?
Do you remember? You can't remember any of that. Huh? The helicopter! When you fell out of the helicopter. Over the zoo. Do you remember the tigers? You don't remember. You were wearing your blue jumper.
Ah, Sister Assumpta, hello there.
Hello.
Oh, you cannot beat Father Ted. Now, that's just to introduce the idea of extraordinary days, memorable days. The whole joke of that clip is that anybody else would remember the day with the police station going on fire and the helicopter and the tigers and everything else, but Dougal just remembers it because he was wearing his blue jumper, which is a kind of an ordinary thing. So I want you to take a little moment to just, you're spending half the service this morning just chatting to each other. Can you have a wee chat quickly with your neighbours about the days that you remember? What's your equivalent of what should have been Dougal's day with the police station and the fire and the helicopter and the tigers? What are the days that you still say, I'll remember that day as long as I live? Okay, go. Okay. So do you want to give me a couple of examples? What kind of days are coming up in your chats? What happened that makes these days so memorable? Shout out a few to me. Wedding day, all very good. Maximum brownie points for anybody who instantly said that. What other kind of days?
Our caravan overtook us one day.
Your caravan overtook you one day? Okay. Yes, I guess that would be quite memorable. Other days? Blue jumper. Pete has worn a blue jumper. Oh, so memorable. When the computer broke down, remember it to your dying day. Oh, the stress and pressure. Any others? First grandchild. Oh, yeah, children, grandchildren, absolutely tend to be memorable kind of creators. One or two more? House went on fire. Okay. Woo. I don't want to awaken too many painful memories this morning with caravans and conflagrated houses. One more. Falling off a bike. Isn't it interesting? Some of the days that we remember for painful reasons. Is that possibly mostly true? Once you've gone through the wedding days, the anniversaries, the birthdays, and the children and the grandchildren, all the kind of cheerful events, a lot of the other really memorable days in your life are the ones where something went disastrously wrong or there was some kind of stress or drama. So the days, the extraordinary days of your life tend to be the best days and the worst days, or the most dramatic days. And I thought I would show you a few little pictures of days that I will always remember. And I also thought we could do... People keep telling me that in Beaver we are full of maths teachers. Is that right? Not to put you under any more pressure, I thought we could actually do a little bit of maths this morning. So this, just to mention before I turn this over, this is the Huddles sign-up sheet. There's one, this is going to be out in that foyer, and there's one out in that foyer, and we're going to be talking about the Huddles later on in the service, and these are all of the spaces you choose. The place, the date, the time, the night of the week, and the kind of geographical area that suits you the best if you're wanting to sign up to one of these, but that is just by the by. Let's turn this over. Now, I wanted to try and figure out how many memorable, extra extraordinary, I'll never forget them till the day I die type days each of us have had in our lives. And so I thought I would use myself as an example. So in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to turn 45. So I have been 45 years on this earth. So that's 45 years of 365 days each equals... Give a rough guess. Yeah, you're in the right kind of area. Don't worry, I had to do it on the calculator as well. The correct answer is 16,000, in fact. Yes, correct. Ah, that was just to test you. 420. On my 45th birthday, I will have been on this planet for 16,425 days. It's kind of a little bit of a weird, worrying thought, isn't it? And hopefully on my 45th birthday, around about the same again. Now, of those days, how many of them, that's a lot of days, how many of them would I say were extraordinary days, days that I will remember my entire life long? Now, you guys might know that Susan and I, nearly 2 years ago now, set off for a year in our camper van. We have been known to bore people to absolute tears, to sobs, by telling people some of the stories of our year in the camper van, so I thought I would try and compress those days as much as possible. We took a selfie every day so that we would remember where we were each day of the 365 days in the camper van. And here are all of our selfies of the day in 30 seconds. So these were all the places that we visited. Every single picture that's whopping up there on the screen was a different day, a different city, a different town, a different mountain, a different river, a different alp, a different whatever. And if I slowed that video colossally, colossally down and we went through day by day, I would be able to tell you a story probably of every day, which coffee shop we went to, which mountain we climbed, which beach we rested on, or whether we just sat on the deck chairs at the camper van the whole time. So there's 365 days that I will never, ever forget as long as I live. So if I'm trying to calculate how many of my 16,425 days are extremely memorable, well, 365 of them definitely are. So minus 365 from 16,425 makes... Very good. So 16,060 minus... Then I was thinking, all of the kind of stuff that we were saying there, the different days that are memorable of house fires and overtaking caravans and all the rest of it, we all have some of those, don't we? Would it be fair to kind of say maybe about 30 a year throughout my 45 years? Does that seem to be kind of natural? Because I was trying to think, what were my memorable days? I remember my first day in school. Don't see why that's funny. Look at those legs. Look at that haircut. I was bullied at school. who else remembers their first day at school? I think I do vaguely remember. So that's one of those extraordinary days where everything in your life changes. I remember my first day at work. That was me as a nurse at an old people's home, setting off to my first day at work. I remember my wedding day, of course, and I remember actually possibly even more vividly from my wedding day, the day after the wedding day, Susan and I set off in our old rusty Renault camper van. That was our first ever camper van and our first ever big mammoth trip. We did 3 months in that van as our honeymoon. It was very, very romantic, and I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember my ordination day, so thinking of the bishop's big service yesterday. My service was fairly boring, but I don't think it was quite as long, as epic as our royal wedding yesterday. But I remember that pretty clearly. I remember and will never forget the day that Dot Cafe opened for the first time. And I remember and will never forget, did you know that I had met the Queen? I know. Now you're looking at me with a bit more respect. That was in 2012 at the opening of Titanic Belfast. I actually got a quick chat with her. I got to tell her all about the Honesty Box Cafe, and the Queen said 4 words to me. That's a lovely idea. So that's, I always, that's what the Queen said to me. So I always say the dock should have a little kind of royal, by royal appointment, little crest above the door of the dock. Honesty Box Cafe, that's a lovely idea, HM the Q. So that was a memorable day. I remember the day that I met the Archbishop of Canterbury, again in Dock Cafe. You can see if you look really closely, I don't know if this was by accident or on purpose, but someone had served him a cup of coffee in a Hello Kitty coffee mug. So I remember that day, I'll never forget that one. He, on the other hand, might not. As you can see, he was very excited to meet me, as you can see from his face there. So if you said the memorable days in your life, I don't think being in Belfast, being talked at that by that man in an apron would figure high on his list. And I remember that's the day that the wee tram, or little tram, arrived in Belfast, fresh from the factory, and I'll never forget that either. So a whole load of memorable days. I'm going to say, if you look back through the decades, is that about reasonable? 30 memorable days per year. So 30 by 45 years equals 30 by 45. Don't worry, I've got it all working. One, three, five, very good, Cam. Yes, 1350 is correct. So if you have 16060 minus 1350, number of memorable days in my 16,000 days of life adds up to 1,370. Very close. Unless my calculator is wrong. 14710, is that right?
I thought it was just 300.
Yeah, so yeah, 13, yeah, yeah. Yeah, good excuse. Well done. You got this bit right. The rest of you can sit for the rest of everything that I have to say, just trying to, is that right? Now, isn't that kind of amazing? So there's two numbers. Number of days that I have lived on this earth, 16,425. Number of really extraordinary, memorable, different, crazy, exciting, dramatic days, 14,710. And the kind of proportion difference between those two figures, very, very roughly, is that kind of, does this sound about right to people? About 90% of the days that you live in your life are just kind of ordinary days. Days where nothing much all that dramatic or memorable or life-changing really happens. 10% of your days are the days that you'll remember for the rest of your life when everything changes and everything is in upheaval and everything is very kind of memorable and wild. But actually, the vast majority of life, about 90% of your days, are the ordinary days. Now, we're about to start into this series called An Ordinary Day with Jesus. And it struck me that this is actually, this is a really interesting topic to be launching into, because ordinary days are very hard to find in this book. As you go through the Bible, all the stories you read, all the characters you meet, you're not meeting them on an ordinary, average, everyday kind of a day. You're meeting them on a dramatic, 10% memorable, I'll never forget it, kind of a day. When we meet Noah, he's not having an ordinary day. He's been told to build an ark because a flood is coming. All pretty dramatic stuff. When we meet Moses, he's not having an ordinary day. We don't hear about all the days where he's just tending his father-in-law's flocks out in the desert. We hear about the day where he meets God in the burning bush and the whole Exodus story begins. When we meet David, he's not having an ordinary day tending his sheep. He's stepping up to get ready to face Goliath. Going forward to the New Testament, when we meet Mary, we've been looking at her story quite a lot over the last couple of weeks, and we don't really find out what normal life looked like for her. When we meet her, she's being visited by an angel and the news of the birth of Jesus and all that leads to, traveling and journeying and exile and all the rest of it. When we meet Paul, on the road to Damascus, we don't really get all that much information about what an ordinary day would have looked like for him. We meet him on the dramatic day when the blinding light stops him in his tracks and he meets with Jesus. And speaking of Jesus, of all of the stories, all the information we have about Jesus in the Gospels, we don't actually know all that much about what an ordinary day would look like for him either. We don't know all that much. We were mentioning this, Adrian mentioned this, was it 2 weeks ago? We were actually saying all we know about the pretty much 30 years between his birth in Bethlehem and the day that he sort of started his public ministry was just that one little glimpse of when he gets lost at the, or his parents lose him at the temple at age 12. And other than that, one little kind of 3-day incident, there are pretty much 30 years or 26 years anyway between when they come back from exile in Egypt and when Jesus turns 30, where we can only presume there were loads of ordinary days working for his father as a carpenter, loads of times sitting down with his family for dinner, loads of times mixing with his brothers and with his family, loads of ordinary days doing ordinary things, and we actually don't really have all that much information about what they actually looked like. Everything we know about Jesus, he was in the middle of one of those 10% days, one of those really dramatic, extraordinary days. So we know what it looked like when he fed the 5,000, but we don't really know what it looked like for him to just have a normal meal without an amazing miracle. We know what it looked like when he was on a boat in the middle of the storm and he calmed the storm, but we don't really know what it looked like for him to take a normal journey without any kind of drama or life-threatening excitement. We know what it looked like when he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, but we don't know what it looked like when he just had a normal conversation with a normal friend without any kind of sort of spectacular thing happening. So everything we have in the Bible, all of the examples and the stories, the framework we have for understanding what a life of faith actually looks like, they're always kind of framed through the lens of extraordinary days, dramatic days, massive life-changing, memorable events. We don't actually have all that much in here of what it actually looks like to live an ordinary day in Jesus' name. And that has massive implication for our lives and our application of our faith, because if, as we hopefully agree, most of our days, 90% of them or so, are ordinary, normal days, what does it actually look like to live for Jesus and to live with Jesus in an ordinary day? Because again, even possibly a lot of our thinking about this, a lot of our sermons and talks and books, they concentrate on the extraordinary days that you and I face. So we know when we're in our most amazing days, when we're having the kind of the mountaintop experience, we know what it is to worship Jesus when we are at our most amazing, most exalted, most joyful moments of life. And equally, we probably spend quite a lot of time thinking, what is it like to follow Jesus, to trust Jesus, to rely on Jesus when things are at their worst, when we are at our loneliest or our most stressed or our most depressed? We think, and I'm sure maybe some of you thought when we were describing our memorable days, we sadly do think of days where we lose friends or rotten days in the doctor's office or in the hospital ward or whatever it may be, our absolute worst days. And we know what it's like to follow Jesus, or we try our best. I'm not saying we always get it right, but we know what it's like to try to follow Jesus on our worst days, to turn to him when we are at our lowest ebb. But those are still in that kind of extraordinary day kind of category. And we know what it's like to try and trust Jesus on our confusing days. We know what it's like to trust him for the big decisions of our life, for who we're going to marry, what job we're going to do, what we're going to devote our lives to. We know what it's like to trust him for those massive, massive things, but we haven't really got so much kind of body of thinking on what it's like just to trust him with the little kind of everyday details of life. I have this little book, and I'm sure lots of you have something similar. Oh, goodness, that's messed everything up. A book of Bible help. Has anyone got one of these? You know, a verse for any situation that you might sort of encounter in life. So you can flick through if you're facing fear, if you're facing failure or doubt or depression or danger or childbirth. I haven't opened that one too much, thankfully. But, just all of those kind of 10% days. There's a verse for the 10% days, but it's kind of hard to think of the ones for the ordinary days, the 90% days. And that is what we're going to try and spend the next couple of weeks looking at. We kind of have an idea of what it means to be a Christian in an extraordinary day, and we know we're all going to face them, the best and the worst. But what is it actually to be a follower of Jesus in an ordinary day? Hence the title of this little series, An Ordinary Day with Jesus. We've got there eventually. What does it mean to follow Jesus on those days where things aren't overly dramatic or exciting or mad or crazy? Dear, I thought I'd lost a page there, so you very nearly got off really, really luckily. So between now and Easter, we're going to be looking at this topic, an ordinary day with Jesus. It's going to take the form of a couple of our sermons on Sunday mornings are going to go through the 8 sessions of this book, and then our huddles, which Adrian's going to talk about more later on, when we meet in different houses and different places with different groups during the week, we're going to actually try and I guess it's where the rubber hits the road. We're going to take the principles and the ideas from our Sunday sermons and actually just talk in little practical day-to-day, how does this work for you? Do you struggle with this? Do you find this easy? Can you help me? Just share with one another the experience of trying to live an ordinary day with Jesus and honestly and hopefully helpfully grapple together with that question, what does an ordinary day with Jesus actually look like? I think sometimes the temptation for preachers is to say, there's no such thing as an ordinary day with Jesus. As soon as Jesus is in your life, every day is extraordinary. I'm not actually sure that's the most helpful way to think of things. I think if you live with that kind of pressure that everything has to be so intense and spectacular and miraculous all the time, I'm not sure it's really spiritually or emotionally or psychologically healthy. I think we have to recognize that, well, that's not my experience. Most of my days, as I say, have been kind of regular days, everyday days. And I think it's more honest to actually see what it looks like to live as followers of Jesus in those kind of everyday days. And it's there in our reading from Ephesians 4 this morning. What does it mean to live as children of light? Isn't that an awesome phrase? What does it look like to live as children of light in all of the kind of normal things of life? What does it look like to wake up first thing in the morning when the alarm goes off? As a children of light? What does it look like to eat breakfast as a child of light? To drive the car, to go to work, or to go to school, to watch TV, to spend money, to do the housework, to shop, to do everyday relationships, to chat to our friends and our family? What does it mean to live an ordinary, unmemorable, everyday kind of day as children of light? And it is still a transformational thing. It's not saying that just an ordinary day is just an ordinary day and Jesus makes no difference. In fact, he makes all the difference in the world. It just doesn't have to look like fireworks and drama and mountaintop experiences. In fact, it more looks like inner transformation. It's all there in the reading. Each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of the one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Those are all things that change everything about the way that we live our ordinary days without necessarily making them anything other than ordinary days. So, all that is just by way of introduction for the next couple of weeks. And I really hope that you enjoy it. And I really hope that it's an experiment worth doing. It's a little bit of a sort of a step up to more commitment. It's one of our pathways to greater involvement in Beaver. That if coming along on a Sunday is hopefully something that really inspires and refreshes you. But if you sort of think, what's the next step? Then maybe one of these huddles is the way to go. We've got huddles for different age groups, different times, different nights of the week. And we're going to really try and get to grips with all this stuff together. Rather than just leave the entire thing this morning just as an introduction to the whole kind of idea of an ordinary day with Jesus, I'm going to finish just by giving you one little thought from the very start of the book. And we have little, I was aiming for them to be bookmarks, but they've turned out to be much bigger than bookmarks. But we're going to kind of hand them all out so that you can take them home with you today. And this is the idea that an ordinary day, no matter how big or little or memorable or unmemorable your day is going to be, it's going to have two basic truths to it. You're going to wake up at the start of it and you're going to go to sleep at the end of it. And so the idea is that you start well and finish well. So if the people who are handing these out, if you can whop them out around the place now and you can all bring them home with you, stick them at your bedside or on your breakfast table or wherever it is you're likely to kind of trip over them when you have just woken up or when you're just about to go to bed. And it's a little spiritual exercise to kind of bracket the day, to sort of bound the day by giving it to Jesus and offering it to Jesus, taking a little moment at the start and the end. So at the start of the day, to open your hopes and plans for the day that is to come to Jesus, not maybe necessarily thinking about changing the whole world or turning everything upside down, but just thinking about what is in the diary for today. Am I about to head to work? Am I going to be meeting up with someone? Am I going to be facing a difficulty at work? Whatever it may be, give to Jesus the things you're worried about. Talk to him about the things that you're excited about and that you're looking forward to. Try and identify in the day that is coming up where are the places that you can serve, that you can actually make a difference and be a blessing to the people that you're going to meet. Try and identify the places where you hope you can learn and where you hopefully can just continue that gradual, beautiful process of drawing closer and closer to Jesus day by day, and identify the places where you might struggle and the people with which you're possibly going to struggle as you come into contact with them during the day. Just taking what could that be, even a minute, 2 minutes, just to try and start the day well and give all of the little details and plans for it over to Jesus. And then on the other side, to kind of do the same process in reverse at the end of the day to finish well. Be still for a moment and quiet your mind. And then this is a suggestion from the book. I should say, by the way, that our whole course, we're not just making this up as we go along, we're following this course called An Ordinary Day with Jesus from the Willow Creek Church in the United States. It's absolutely phenomenal. I've kind of gone through it before, and it was really, really helpful to me, and I hope it will be for you as well. And this is one of the really good little suggestions that they give, is that you, at the end of the day, you almost like create a little movie in your head of the day that you have just lived, kind of replay it like you're playing a video. Or I kind of think of it like the video I showed you of all of the selfies from our trip, that you almost have like a little series of snapshots, a little montage of snapshots of who you did, who you met, where you went, what you did during the day, and you just sort of replay the montage of the day. Identifying the scenes and the pictures that really fill you with gratitude, identifying the ones that fill you with regret or a sort of, oh, that wasn't so great that that happened, and which scenes really just remind you to give them to God, to pray for the situation as you left it, and to just finish the day just by saying, well, there we go. We got through another one, and this is what God did in the day, and this is what I did, and I'm going to just turn it over to God before I lay my head on the pillow and go to sleep. Hopefully, as we do that, the little kind of process of reflecting on the day and kind of going back over it in your mind like that actually helps you to spot a few patterns. Are there things that come up day by day that are the same problems that you face today as you faced yesterday and you faced the day before? Maybe things that you need to sort of do something about. Helps you maybe to develop the skill of seeing God at work in your life. If you're reflecting on the day, each day you're actually seeing the different ways that God is changing you, shaping you, molding you, working with you day by day. And ultimately, and I hope this is true for every one of us, it really gives you thankfulness as you look back through the day and realize just how much of the beautiful, unexpected, chaotic, incredible presence of God is there in every ordinary day of our lives. So let's pray. And our prayer this morning is for our ordinary days. Lord, we have hopefully, probably thanked you many times for our extraordinarily good days. And we have turned to you, hopefully, probably, many times in our extraordinarily bad days. And this morning and for these next couple of weeks, we really want to offer you our ordinary days as well. We pray that in them you would reveal yourself to us, that you would be working in our lives, changing and molding our characters, bringing us more into that picture of the children of light that we read about in Ephesians. That in our ordinary days, you would be gradually, beautifully, wonderfully, mysteriously helping us to let go of anger and malice and bitterness. That you would be helping us to be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other. That in our ordinary days, you would be revealing little glimpses of your glory and your beauty. That in our ordinary days, you would be helping us to make decisions that honour you and bless other people. That in our ordinary days, we could walk more and more closely with you as the days go by and the years pile on. That in our ordinary days, we would live as children of light. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.